We're starting what is a fairly big subject in Hilchot Avilut, one of the largest sugyot, and that is the question of Aninut, which again in a certain sense is a prelude or a preface to Avilut. We know that Aninut is the period of time between the death of a relative and the burial. Now what we're going to see is because in actual fact, there are two different types of aninut. There's, if you like, biblical aninut and rabbinic aninut. And they've got two very different scopes. So let's start with the biblical aninut. We've got psukim to do with the vidui maser that's made every 3 years before Pesach. That's that you've brought all your trumot and maserot. Then you make the following declaration. Tvarim Perek Kaf Vav. Biyati HaKodesh Bin HaBayit V'gamnu Tativ La Levi V'lager L'Yatom V'Lamana K'chom Mitzvat Chashet Zivitani. Lo afarti mitzvotecha v'lo shachachti. So I haven't missed anything. Lo achalti v'oni mimenu. I didn't eat it whilst I was on an onen. For lo viati menu tamei, I didn't consume it when it was tamei, etc., etc. Okay, so what we're seeing here is that an onen is not allowed to eat maser sheni. That's, and indeed, that's the din with all kodshim. We see that from Bnei Aaron, that when Nadav and Avihu die, it's only because of exceptional circumstances that they're allowed to, the remaining brothers are allowed to eat the kodshim, but in general, they're not allowed to do so. So the din midoraita about aninut is to do with achilat kodshim. That's, it's, you know, contemporary context, and we're going to see this shortly. You know, it's all to do with whether or not onen is chayv in mitzvot. But in a classical context, in a Doraita context, it's all to do with whether or not an onen is allowed to eat kodshim. So one of the questions is, under what circumstances is the onen, or what time frame is the onen prohibited from eating kodshim? So there's a mission in Zvachim. Tvul yom u'mechusa kippurim. These are people who have been to the mikvah, and they haven't yet brought their korbanot, einan cholkin b'kodshim le'chol la'erev. So they're not able to, even on that day, when they've gone to the mikvah, they can't eat yet any kodshim, they're tamei. We're not talking here yet about an onen. Yeah, a person who's tamei had to go to the mikvah. That he needs to wait. He's not tahor until he's got hadharev shemesh, until nightfall or sunset. So kodshim is slaughtered that day. You might have thought that he could take a portion of the kodshim and take it home and heat it up later in the microwave. That's after nightfall. But we see that he can't. Einan cholkin kodshim lechol la'erev. Onen noger, though we're not so interested in that, but we are interested in onen noger ve'eno makriv ve'eno cholek le'echol la'erev. And onen also, he's not allowed to touch the kodshim, he's not allowed to be makriv kodshim. And likewise, like the Tvul Yom and Mechusa Kippurim, he's not allowed to be cholek le'echol la'erev. So in kodshim that he's not part of, because he hasn't shechted them, he's not allowed to shech them, he's not allowed to eat them today. But many kodshim, you can eat that, kodshim anyhow, you can eat that day and that night, at least till midnight, sometimes till the morning, sometimes shnei yamim v'lay le'echad. So I thought, okay, he can't eat it now, but he can take a portion and eat it later. So we see that he can't. So this is the restriction of an onen with kodshim. Now we said ve'enu cholek le'echol la'erev, and the Gemara says as follows: miflag hu delo palig. That's so. I would assume that he hasn't got the right to claim any of the kodshim. That's v'chimazamne le'achil. But if he's invited that evening to eat of the kodshim, then he can. So he didn't have a right to take a portion. But if somebody wants to share their portion with him, once the aninut has concluded, then I might have thought that he can. Or a minhi, but we can bring a contradiction. Onen tovel v'ochelet pischola erev avalo b'kodshim. So an onen, that's when he finishes his aninut, he does tevila, and then he eats the korban pesach in the evening. We're talking about, he was an onen, obviously, on Yud Dalet, on the 14th of Nisan. That, so he can eat the korban pesach in the evening, even though he obviously wasn't part of that, the shechting of it, and even though he couldn't have possibly eaten from it that on the day of the 14th, midin aninut, besides the consideration that you can't eat the korban pesach before night time, avalo b'kodshim. In any event, it's telling us this din doesn't apply with kodshim, so he can't even eat on the night after his aninut. He can't eat kodshim that was shechted during the day of his aninut. I suppose we should already at this stage interrupt and establish, I mean, it's going to become clearer through the sugya, but our assumption is aninut is the day on which a person loses a relative.
So the day you've been assessed in the...
No, nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
Isn't it any period before
you buried? No, but this is the difference between aninut d'oraita and aninut d'rabbanan. Right? It's meaning aninut d'oraita is to do with kodshim, right? And aninut of kodshim that we're going to see is midoraita on the day that the person dies, and midrabanan the night, the following night as well, right? That's now, we're jumping the gun a little bit, but we'll see, you know, in contemporary aninut, that so the aninut is both longer and shorter. Meaning that if a person's father dies, lo aleinu, that's at 6 o'clock in the morning, and is buried at 10 o'clock in the morning, then the aninut's over at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? If he's not buried till 2 days later, then the aninut, at least in principle, extends for a further 2 days, right? As far as kodshim is concerned, there's both a kula and a chumra. The chumra is that if the person dies at 6 o'clock in the morning, is buried at 9 o'clock in the morning, the aninut still continues for the rest of that day. The rest of that day, they can't eat kodshim, even though they've buried their relative. On the other hand, that if the person's not buried till the next day or the day after, that then there's no aninut d'oraita. That's, it's true there's aninut d'rabanan till the burial, but min ha-Torah, there's no aninut. So as far as kodshim is concerned, aninut only applies that midoraita, or I'm going to say only applies because it also applies in terms of there's a stringency over contemporary aninut. So as far as kodshim is concerned, aninut applies for the entire day that the person died, and then midrabanan also till the burial, and that's what we're going to see now in this sugya. So we say urminhi onen tovel v'ochelet pischol erev avalo b'kodshim. So he can't eat the kodshim in the evening. That's even if you know somebody else is sharing them with them. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu medifti lokasha. Kam b'fesach, kam b'shar yomot hashana. One case we're talking about on the 14th, 15th of Nisan. And the other case, we're talking about the rest of the year. B'fesach, I did achil pesach, achil nami kodshim. So on the night of the 15th of Nisan, a person who was an onen during the day of the 14th of Nisan is allowed to eat kodshim, is allowed to eat the korban pesach, which was offered up that day. He's allowed to eat it in the night. So seeing he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, he's also allowed to eat other kodshim, which were shechted that day. However, b'shar yomot hashana, d'lo chazi lo chazi. that the rest of the year, when there's no Korban Pesach for him to eat that night, so he's not suitable to eat any kodshim, he doesn't eat any kodshim. So there's a special sort of, if you like, a piggyback heter that's on Seder night, that's on Lel Pesach, that seeing as he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, so then we'll allow him to eat all kodshim. That's, but the rest of the year where he hasn't got a Korban Pesach to eat, then he doesn't eat kodshim. That's, and therefore, umay avaloba kodshim. What does the brayta mean when it says avaloba kodshim? It means avaloba kodshim shel kol hashana. So that's the answer of Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti. Rav Asi amar lo kasha. We can give a different answer. Kan shemeit lo meit bar ba'asa kvar o bar ba'asa. In one case, we're talking about where the bereavement took place on the 14th of Nisan, and the burial took place on the 14th of Nisan, right? In which case, he's not allowed to eat kodshim. He's not allowed to eat. He's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach that night, but he's not allowed to eat other kodshim. Kan shemeit lo meit bishlosha asar ukvar o bar ba'asar. But the case where we said he is allowed to eat the kodshim on Pesach night is where the Petira took place on the 13th of Nisan and the Kavura took place on the 14th of Nisan. And therefore, the 14th of Nisan, anyhow, was only an Aninut Doraita. Yom Kavura lo tafis leilo midrabanan. And the Yom Kavura, that's even though the Yom Hamita extends the Aninut midrabanan into the night, the Yom Kavura doesn't extend the Aninut into the night. Mantan Aninut Laila Midrabanan. And who is the Tana who holds that Aninut of night is Drabanan? Rabbi Shimon Hitatanya Aninut Laila Midivrei Torah. Adivrei Rabbi Yudah. Rabbi Shimon Omer Eino Midivrei Torah. At night, Ela Midivrei Sofrim. Teda Sharon Onen Tovel Volchele Pischola Erev Aval Lo Bekodshim. James, you look like you had a question.
Yeah, so is he saying, according to his opinion, if he dies on the 14th, he can't eat the Korban Pesach at all?
No, the Korban Pesach he can eat. The question is the Kodshim, the other Kodshim we're talking about.
Korban Pesach, eat the Korban
everybody
Pesach.
Eats, yeah, you can eat the Korban Pesach.
When he can eat the Korban.
If he can eat the other Kodshim. If he can eat the other Kodshim, exactly, yeah.
So the Korban Pesach he can eat only at night?
Well, you can only eat the Korban Pesach at night anyhow. So that means that the Yom, if the person died on one day and is not buried till the next day, then the Aninut of the Yom Kavura that comes to an end at night time.
So when he dies on the 13th and he buries on the 14th, then it ends on the 14th.
Correct.
On the night of the 14th. So you can doesn't, the night of Pesach.
Yes, doesn't extend into the night of Pesach. This notion of the night time and the difference between the night time and daytime also comes up in the Gemara Menachot. Tanya Matai Mitonein Alav. When does the din of Aninus apply? Kol Hayom. Rebbe Omer calls man shelo nikbar. Rebbe says, no, it applies right till he's buried. So if Rebbe were to say it only applies till he dies and not after, meaning even on the day that he, until he's buried and not after, even on the day that he dies, does Rebbe not hold that, you know, the night after the Yom Mita is an onem midrabanan? For two, Rebbe Omer calls man shelo nikbar, once he's been buried, it's he's allowed to eat kodshim. And does Rebbe not hold that with this din of vachari taki omar, the whole day that a person dies, that has got a din of aninut? So amar av sheshet ayom kavura kai. It's referring to the yom kavura. So what we're seeing here is, you know, reinforcing this idea which we said outside already, that you've got, as far as kodshim are concerned, the day on which the person dies, there's aninut d'oraita, which means that you're not allowed to eat kodshim. That the following night, there's aninut d'rabanan, that's, which means midrabanan, you're not allowed to eat kodshim. And that aninut d'rabanan will continue until the burial takes place.
Even if it takes place more than 24 hours later.
Yeah, even if it takes place more than 24 hours later.
And this is kind of, it's on the topic, but slightly separate. But normally we say a drabanan will affect even the doraita. So if there's drabanan avela, was he allowed to eat the doraita kodshim? Like, normally, is there not some kind of parallel between the two?
So I don't understand your question.
As in, so if let's say that he's got a drabbanan anina because he hasn't yet buried the person,
right?
We're saying he's still allowed to eat kochim.
No, he's not allowed to eat kochim.
He's not.
That's the din of aninut. The din of aninut is that you're not allowed to eat kochim.
Right, yeah, but that's your thing is Doraita, that's on the day of...
Yeah, and then subsequent, it's Darabanan that he's not allowed to eat the kochim.
Okay, fine, but he's still not allowed to eat kochim.
That's the whole din of... You can't have aninut and be allowed to eat kochim.
Right.
That's what the whole din of aninut is as far as the Torah is concerned. That it's that you're not allowed to eat kochim.
What's the difference between...
Because korban pesach, you got a specific chiyuv to eat that, to eat that korban, that, and therefore, you know, any other kodshim, I don't have to eat them. There's no mitzvah to eat. There's no mitzvah chiyuvit to eat other kodshim. Whereas there is a mitzvah chiyuvit to eat the korban pesach, and therefore, seeing as there's no aninut d'oraita, that's so Chazal aren't going to stop us eating the korban pesach.
And it's not the writer because it's within the evening.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Correct. That's so let's look at the Rambam in Perek Bet of Biat HaMikdash, which again it's notable, at least in this context, that it comes up in Biat HaMikdash. It also comes up in Hilchot Avel, but in terms of Kodshim, it comes up in Biat HaMikdash. That's so Onen, Zeshemek no Mekminat Krovim Shuchayav Litabel Alehem, Biyom Hamita Bilvad, Hu Anikra Onen Din Torah, Velaila, Hu Onen Midivrei Sofrim. And if a person's not buried for a while, as we said, that so subsequent to that first day, till the kavura, then he's an onen midrabanan. The chen yom hakavura, and the whole day of the yom hakavura. So even if the kavura takes place at 10 o'clock in the morning, that doesn't bring the aninut to an end. The ainot or face leilo. That's but
Paskin.
Sorry?
Is that we Paskin now?
Well, yes, except we don't have Kodshim nowadays. So it's not of practical relevance. But it's important in terms of the Sugi of Aninut to be familiar with these two models of Aninut, the Doraita Kodshim model and the Drabanan Avelut model. Lefichach misha meit no meit lacha yom amita kol yom hakvura inu makriv ve'inu ochel b'kodshim midivrehem v'tovel v'ochel la'erev. Okay, so exactly really what we've said, that so on the day that the person dies, that whole day there's aninut d'oraita, you can't eat kodshim min haTorah. That night already you can eat kodshim, you can't eat kodshim midrabanan, and until the burial and the whole day of the burial, the at aninut d'rabanan applies. So that is the aninut d'oraita. Now let's move on to contemporary aninut. Which it so happens, got to mention in today's Daf Yomi, if anybody's done it yet. Anybody done the Daf Yomi yet?
No.
Okay, so talks before. Right, Rachatz Balal Arishon Hashemita Ishto, talking about Rabban Gamliel, that's who washed on the night after his his wife died. And if you look there in the Gemara, in Rashi, talks about Aninut Laila, etc., etc. Then we've got the Sugya on Daf Yud Zayin, which is tomorrow's Daf, that's which is the beginning of the third perek, which is the classic sugya of aninut. That's the Mishnah. Yud Zayin Amud Bet. Misha meitol mutar lefanav patur mikriyat shema min hatfila min hatfilin mikol mitzvot hamurat b'Torah. So a person who has got a dead relative in front of them is exempt from kriyat shema, tefillah, tefillin, all mitzvot in the Torah. Nosei Hamita, then we've also got a further din, which is not of so much interest to us, but we should see as well. Nosei Amitah, those who are carrying the bier or the coffin, v'chilufehen, v'chilufei, chilufehen. Those who are going to swap them, remember, they might have been carrying, you know, the funeral procession. So, you know, you see it sometimes, you know, Gedolei Yisrael, you know, it's, you know, going from Me'er Sha'arim to Har HaMenuchot, you know, it stretches, you know, several miles. That's sort of Bnei Brak, you know, streets and streets and streets, you know, full of people, and the mate is being passed. So all the people who are carrying the mate, you've got some in front of the coffin, some behind the coffin, those who are in front of the mitah, if they're required, they're going to have to carry the coffin, so then they're patur. Those who are behind the mitah, even if they're required somewhat, they're chayav. Remember, these are not the relatives, these are just other people who are participating in the funeral procession. But in any event, they're all exempt from tefillah. It's just that if they need to say Kriyat Shema, those behind the mitah will say Kriyat Shema. Kavru et hamit v'chazru. If they've buried the mate and now they've come back to town and they're now going to make a shura, they're going to make a line for the Avel to pass along, and they're going to extend condolences. If they've got time to say Shema, that's before they reach the Shura, then they should do so. But if not, they shouldn't even start. And those standing in the Shura, those who are on the inside where the Avel can see them, are exempt from saying Shema. And those who are on the outside are chayev to say Shema. So the Gemara says, mutalafanavim, she'inu mutalafanavlo. The implication here is that if a person has got the dead relative in front of them, then they are exempt from mitzvot. She'inu mutalafanav, but if the dead relative's not in front of them, they're not exempt from mitzvot. Now, we should just say, as an aside, it's clear that where we're talking about the being exempt from mitzvot, we're only talking about mitzvot aseh. That's, we're not talking about loving. It doesn't mean if a person loses a relative, they say, oh, right, I can go to McDonald's now and have a Big Mac, you know, till the Levaya. It only means they don't do positive mitzvot. But obviously, they can't do negative mitzvot.
In front of him literally?
That's what we've got the sugya for. So meitor mutalafanav im she'inu mutalafanav lo, or a minhi, but let's bring a contradiction. Misha meitor mutalafanav, a person who has a dead relative in front of them, ochel b'vayit acher, they have to go into another house to eat. You can't eat in front of the mate. Rashi explains, because it's lo'eg l'rash, it's disrespectful, it's like mocking, you know, that they can't eat any longer, and I'm fressing. V'mein lo b'vayit acher, and if you haven't got another house to go to, or Kelbevet Chaveros, so knock on a friend's door and go and eat in their house. Or Beit Chaveros, if your friend hasn't got a house or you've got no friends, or se mechitza v'ochel, so put up a mechitza between you and the mate and eat. V'imein lo davar lasot mechitza, and if you've got nothing with which you can make a mechitza, machazir panav v'ochel, then you turn around to eat. V'einu meisev v'ochel, but even when you're eating, you can't recline and eat. V'einu ochel basav, v'einu shotei yad, and you don't eat meat or drink wine, for einom avarech, for einom azamein, and you don't say brachot before or after you eat, and you don't lead a zimun, for einom avarekin alav, for einom azamein alav, and they don't recite brachot on your behalf, and others don't include you in a mezumen. Upatomik kriyat shema minat tefillah minat tefillin mikomitz vatamurat batorah, and you're exempt from kriyat shema and tefillin, etc., and all mitzvot in the Torah. Uva Shabbat, however, on Shabbat, meisev v'ochel basav shotei yayin. On Shabbat, there's no din of aninut. You can recline, and you can eat meat, drink wine. Mavarich mezamein, mavarich alav, and mezamein alav. You can say brachot, participate in the mezumen. V'chayev v'chol mitzvot hamurot b'torah, and you're chayev in all mitzvot. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that since you're chayev in these, you're chayev in all mitzvot. So it seems to be saying exactly the same as the Tanakama. Bama Rabbi Yochanan, my Beinaihu. Tashmish Hamita Ika Beinayhu. That the question is whether on Shabbat the Onan is allowed to engage in Tashmish Hamita. The Tanakama holds that even though he's chayv in all mitzvot, that he's not chayv in, or he's not allowed to engage in Tashmish Hamita because that is excessive tanug. That's whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that no, seeing as he's chayv in all mitzvot, there's no din of aninut at all on Shabbat, and therefore he's permitted to engage in Tashmish Hamita. Ketani mihat, but for our purposes, it's important to note that we learned patur mikriyat shema minat filim mikol mitzvot hamura b'Torah. We said that he's exempt from all the mitzvot in the Torah, and that included, you know, we said that, you know, what's the case that misha meitzom mutalufanav ochel b'vaytacher, etc. You should go and eat somewhere else. So even though you're eating somewhere else, you're exempt from all mitzvot in the Torah. You don't have the mate mamash in front of you, and yet you're exempt from all the mitzvot. So that seems to be going against the diuk we made in the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Papa, Targuma Machazir Panavochel. So Rav Papa said, you can say, oh, that bit's talking about Machazir Panavochel, if you're in the same room as the mate, so then you don't do any mitzvot. But if you're not in the same room as the mate, then you will do mitzvot. However, Rav Ashi Amar, Kevan Shemutal Alav Lekovro, seeing as you've got a chiyuv to bury him, the Mutal Fanav Dami, that is as if he's in front of you, the corpse is in front of you. So what we're saying here is that Misha Meitom Mutal Fanav is just a figure of speech. It doesn't mean to say that the corpse is mamash, you know, at your feet. It means that you've got a responsibility to bury a person. Shenemar, and we can bring a proof text. Vayakom Avraham al pnei meito. Okay, so it says that Avraham got up from in front of Sarah and went to find Ephron and Bnei Chet. V'neemar, and it says that he said to them, "Ve'baram eti milafanai," and I will bury my dead relative from before me. But Sarah wasn't mamish in front of him at that point in time. Kolzman shemutal alav lekovro kumutal lefanav dami. Nevertheless, what we say is if there's a responsibility to bury the person, so then it's as if they're in front of them. Now, the big question is, why do we have this patur from mitzvot? So let's start off with Rashi.
Ask about the Gemara.
Sorry?
What does it mean?
So we said that even in a case where ochel b'vayit acher, he's patur from mitzvot. So that's showing that even if that the mate isn't mamish in front of him, he's still patur from mitzvot. And that's what we're trying to establish. Okay. When the mate's not mamish in front of you, are you patur from mitzvot? That's the question. We understand that if...
Gamliel saying a chayv and everything.
No, that's talking about on Shabbat.
What's that?
Right, that's the machloket between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel with regard to Shabbat.
And then the next part, Katani Mihat.
Right,
not about Shabbat.
Correct. Okay. And that's saying that the indication is that it's only when the mate is... So it's even if the mate is not in front of you that you're patur from mitzvot. Whereas the implication from the Mishnah was that it's only if the mate is in front of you that you're patur from mitzvot. Therefore, we gave two answers. So let's start off with Rashi. Rashi says that this is not really anything to do with aveilut or aninut per se. Mishem eto patur mikro kriyat shema. The point is that he's distracted by the responsibilities of having to bury his relative. And it's comparable to the case of a chatan on, I think, Daf Yud Aleph. That's where the Gemara says that he's, you know, chatan is patur laila rishonim kriyat shema because he's distracted by tirdu de mitzvah. that. So, and the Gemara talks about, you know, tirda, you know, if you've got a tirda on your mind, mm-hmm. that doesn't exempt you from Kriyat Shema. That's Tavas Finator Bayam. It's a classic example in the Gemara. You know, you own the Titanic, and you've just got a telegram that it's gone down. That's, I'd say the only thing you can do is daven at that stage, but that's...
too late for that.
That's... you might be distressed, but you've got to get the, you know, got to focus your mind on saying Shema and say Shema. However, if you're distracted by a mitzvah, so then Oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, essentially, and you don't have to do the other mitzvah. So that's what Rashi's saying here. Here you're engaged in a mitzvah. That's, it's distracting to you, it's stopping you focusing on Shema, and therefore you've got a patur from Shema. Standard, you know, meaning that this is nothing particular to do with being an onan. It could be that you're a chatan, and you'd be equally a patur. Let's look at the Rambam, and then a Tosfot. Misha meit lo meit shu chayav li tabel alav patur mikriyat shema sheik barenu mipnei she'ein da'ato penuya likrot. So Tosfot says, the Rambam says essentially the same. She'ein da'ato penuya likrot. You've got something which is impeding you from saying Shema properly. You've got the bereavement on your mind. Now let's look at the Tosfot. However, Tosfot quotes the Yerushalmi. First time Amar Rabbi Bun, Ketiv Leman Tizkor at Yom Seid Chamer Yisrael Kol Yemei Chayecha. Okay, Yamin Yerushalmi learns Yamim Shatal Seik BaChayim, V'lo Yamim Shatal Seik BaMeitim. That mitzvot apply only at times when you're involved in matters to do with life, and not when you're involved in matters to do with the dead. That's so this seems to be a very different consideration. In actual fact, Tosfot further down on the page, on Yud Zayin Amud Bet, quotes further in Yerushalmi, where there are two opinions as to why that is, you know, why this patur should exist, either because Kvod Hamet, that's, or because Ein Lo Mishe Yisa'en, you've got nobody else to take care of the mate. And of course, there's going to be an afkamina. That's, you know, in a case where you've got somebody else who can take care of the mate, that's, would you still be patur because of Kavod Hamet? In any event, Rav Soloveitchik makes a very interesting chidush based on Shita Tosfot. That, in terms of Tosfot, so it's nothing to do with the din, the normal din of Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. It's a whole new din with regard to Aninut. And Rav Soloveitchik says, this is a kiyum of Aninut. A kiyum of Aninut is that you're unable to engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's in terms of that, even if you're not distressed by the death of your relative, and there are plenty of other people who are going to look after the kavura arrangements. You know, that can happen. You know, it's you know, we tend to always sort of, you know, be shocked. What, you know, a person's not upset when his brother dies, but certainly in the times of Chazal, until fairly recently, you know, where women died in childbirth, so often you'd have sort of step families and you'd have half siblings. So it'd be very easy that, you know, you've got a 25-year difference, age difference between the oldest child from one wife and the youngest child from the next wife. You still sometimes have it, you know, and they never grew up together, and they never lived together as adults, and they never necessarily lived in the same country. So you can have, you know, a person loses his older sister who's 25 years older than him. She's got 10 kids. That's, they're going to take, you know, he hasn't been in touch with his sister for 3 years, not because they don't like each other, just because, you know, certainly in the days of Chazal, you know, they lived in different places, that they didn't see much of each other. That's, nevertheless, a kiyum of aninut is that you don't do positive mitzvot. In terms of, and this is a form of kvod hamet, that you're showing that you feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you feel unable to engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the very kiyum of aninut. Now, there's this big question about that, you know, if the mate is not mamish in front of you. So let's look at a Bach for starters. So the Bach says, Perush afinu eino lefanav nami pato mikom mitzvot ve'eino mevarich dekevan shemutal alav lekovro kumutal lefanav dami. The time ahu mipnei kvodo shomate l'fichach afinu kva asakim hamate v'shuv eido tzarich litasek. So you've done everything that needs to be done. You've arranged for the mate to be washed and put in a coffin. And now it's just waiting for burial. Or sheyesh lo achem she'oskim b'shvilo. Afinu hachi ashin eino rashay lo levareich. Even though there's nothing particular for you to do, you're not allowed to say brachot. Deinze kvodo shel mate shemutal alav lekovro she'yoseichu mechashev libo b'davar acher. It's not cavaldic for the mate that you should now be, oh, right, I'm dealt with the mate, I can go back to learning daf yomi and davening properly. Afilim d'var mitzvah, el alibo yehi panu l'chashev al tzor keha mate, kach yas kamat ha-tosot v'harosh al piyar Yushalmi. Okay, so that is on the basis of Yushalmi, that is the Tosfot and the Rosh saying that, no, the Aninut still applies. Now the Ravya and the Aguda say that. Sorry, the Mordechai and the Aguda say, yeah, in the name of the Ravya, that in the Yerushalmi, as this is pointed out by Tosfot as well, there's a machloket. What's the reason for the patur of an en from mitzvot? Is it because of kavod hamate, or is it because you haven't got anybody to look after the mate? V'loif shita, and the Gemara doesn't indicate, or the Yerushalmi doesn't indicate which opinion is authoritative. So the Mordechai and the Aguda say, the nice fact, if you've got people to look after the mate, you've got a Hevra Kadish or whatever it is, so then you're not patur from mitzvot. That's because we'll follow that view in the Yerushalmi, that it's all to do with She'ino Mishia Samasa'o. However, lo nagu ha'olam lahakel, b'chein kathamar shal, b'tshuva simon ayin, lo nagin k'ravya lahakel b'zeh. So, l'maisa, we're not makel about it. That's, and, you know, it's one of those things, we're strict to say that you're not allowed to go to shul. That's, most people would regard that as a kula. That's, you know, we're strict that you mustn't go to shul, even though there's nothing particular for you to be doing at the moment.
What about as a yochid then?
No, nope. I'm just saying. I'm saying, go to shul. I mean, davening, yeah. Or anything. Yeah. Let's look at the Chochmat Adam. The Chochmat Adam is the author of the Chai Adam, but on Yoritaya and parts of Efen Hayesa. We partur mikom mitzvot shebat Torah min reik vodol shalmeit. V'yes biyad chachamim levatel afilu mitzvot tasei doraita b'shevi al tase. Remember, they're not telling you to transgress any averas. They're just telling you not to do a particular matter. So even if you want to be strict on yourself, you're not allowed to be strict. And even if you've got somebody else who's going to look after the kavura arrangements, I don't know, gardener. That's like your sister dies and she's got a husband. Nevertheless, you're going to be pato. That was the other opinion in Yerushalmi. Well, if he's there, im ein mutal alav lekovro, chayav ba'anan kamalang katam harishon. So we follow the first reason, which is all to do with kavod, which is what the Bach said. Okay, so this is a big chiddush there of the Chochmat Adam, that in actual fact, if somebody else is taking care of the mate, and there's really not much for you, nothing for you to do, the mate's not in front of you, so then you are allowed to be machmir, as it were, and and to daven. That's so it's okay. So the Yerushalmi actually talks about the case of Nimsa, and this is brought in the Tosfos as well, in Yudchet Amud Aleph, talks about the case of Nimsa LaRabim, that if the mate has been handed over to the Chevra Kedisha, that, so then the Yerushalmi says, once it's Nimsa LaRabim, and it's Nala Katafim, so then the Chiyuv HaMitzvot kicks in again. That's, so that seems to be how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. The Mishnah Berurah seems to pasken that once the Chevra Kedisha has taken the mate and there's not a lot for you to do, that so then you're chayv again in mitzvot. That's if you're still involved in, you know, the kavura arrangements. You know, sometimes it happens, you know, the Chevra Kedisha picked up the mate, but you still got to get the green form or whatever it is from the registrar. That's, you know, so then you're still involved, or you're busy writing your hesped or something of that nature. So then you would be patur. But if it's, you know, really, Chevra Kedisha have come, you know, there's only this can happen, you know, even, you know, that's the Leviathan, your person dies, you know, on Sunday, for whatever reason, the Leviathan's not getting to be till on Sunday. It's going to be Monday afternoon because you're waiting for another son to come in from Eretz Yisrael or something like that. So you're mulling the mate lichvodor. That's permissible. But Chevra Kedisha came Sunday lunchtime, took the mate away, and there's nothing for you to do now till tomorrow afternoon. Mishnah Berurah holds that not tefillin. Tefillin is a different din. Tefillin is a different din. Tefillin is a different din because even on the first day of Avelut, even when you're not an on and you don't wear tefillin, we'll come to that. We'll have a share on that in its own right. Fine. But we'll come to the dinners. But in terms of davening, Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, you should daven. That's the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, that whole sugya in Yerushalmi is only talking about where the mate is being taken to be buried outside of town. That's, and therefore, Nimsala Rabim, Nimsala Katafib, you know, you're now nothing to do with it. You know, what goes on, you're not involved with it. If you're going to, you know, Bushy Cemetery or Edgeware Lane or whatever it is, you know, the next day, that, so you're still involved in it, you're still an on end, you know, for all that, for all that time. So the Chochmat Adam seems to be a bit strict there. The Chochmat Adam gives you the option to do mitzvot. That's as does the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's look before we start looking in Shulchan Aruch. Let's look at another point in the Tosfot. So on this point of Einu Mevarich. Right, so we said that an onen is einu mevarich. Perush Rashi, vein zakuk levarich. So he says in the name of Rashi that he doesn't have an obligation to say a bracha. Meaning that if he wants to, he can. It's just like if you feel distracted by the bereavement, so then you don't have to focus yourself to say a bracha. And that fits in with what we've seen already in Rashi. There's a whole, the whole thing is an issue of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. But if you're not Osek b'mitzvah, if you're not, you know, classic, you know, case of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, if you can do both of them, then you do both of them. So, you know, if you're not particularly distracted, then you can say a bracha. That's mihu b'Yerushalmi ka'amar imrat salach mi'al in shomim lo. But the Yerushalmi disagrees and says, no, person wants to be machmir, too bad, they can't. We said before, okay, that's what we're interested in. So the point is there, in the we've got a machloket rishonim between Rashi and Tosfot as to whether or not an onen who wants to say a bracha is allowed to do so. Rashi, because he holds it all to do with the sugya of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, says if he wants to do it, then he's entitled to do it, he's allowed to do it. Whereas Tosfot, who seems to be holding like the Yerushalmi, says it's because of kol yemei chayecha, so that's a different, that's, you know, as Rav Soloveitchik explained, that's a kiyum in avelus, in aninut, so therefore, even if you want to say a bracha, and even if you're able to, you shouldn't, because this is the sort of the kavod that you're supposed to show, is by not doing it. Okay, let's open Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch, Shin Mem Aleph. If you don't have that, I didn't photocopy that. If you've got Shulchan Aruch to hand, anybody got Shulchan Aruch?
You're there.
That's, anybody got Shulchan Aruch? There's one or two on the shelves. There's one, there's the big one there. If you've got computer.
Simon?
Shin Mem Aleph. You're there, Shin Mem Aleph.
Well,
the Torah is
not going.
I'm going
to my phone.
Use the phone.
I think I'm going to my phone. Use the phone. So, see if I have. Misha make no make you chayav lit our bell alav kodem kvura. Ochel bavaita acher, ain't no baita acher, ochel bavaita. They roll in sadin beinyan she'ino nital beruach. Okay, so this is the definition of what a machitza is. It needs to be something which is omid beruach mitzuya. V'mein lo tafa lasot machitza machazir panav ochel v'vein kach va'afilu hu ba'ir acheret ein ol meisev v'ochel v'ein ol basar v'ein ol shotei yain. So this is things that we've we saw all that in the Gemara, that even if you're eating that and you're in another room, or even if you're in another city, that you don't eat meat, you don't drink wine. We'll come back on Wednesday to discuss the question of being in another city. Okay, that's the famous Maisha with Rabbeinu Tam and his sister at the end of the Tosfot, so we'll discuss that on Wednesday. Okay, doesn't even say Amen. Okay, it's very difficult when you're an Onen. If you're a Frum Jew, it's very difficult to be an Onen. A Frum Jew is always used to say, right, pick up food. That's one of the terrible things about being a Frum Jew. You say a bracha even without thinking about it, which is not exactly the way you're supposed to say a bracha. But, it's an automatic thing. You say a bracha. When you're on it, you have to stop yourself doing what is intuitive. And you don't even say amen to somebody else's bracha. Why? Because it's this whole din of kavod. Right, so that was the view in Tosfot, right, based on the Yerushalmi. Okay, Rashi was of the opinion that you can be machmir, and that's brought down in Orach Chaim Siman Ayin Aleph. But the Shulchan Aruch here is paskening like Tosfot. Obviously, you don't have to tuck into meat and wine. You can even go to shul on Shabbat. Even during the week, you could go to shul. Right, seeing as you can't daven there, what will you do there? Well, I don't know. I see a lot of people in shul playing on their mobile phones. So that's, you can maybe, that's not on Shabbat, but during the week, I mean. So maybe that's why he's gone to shul during the week. To answer his emails. Free Wi-Fi. That's now. If on Shabbat he needs to be what we call machshich al ha-tchum, means that you need to be straight somewhere in Motzei Shabbat, you want to be at the edge of the tchum of the city, so that after Shabbat you can go outside the city to go and call relatives or get wood for the coffin or whatever it is. Kedei lasok tzorcha ha-meit, chalal avinut ve'aseh b'chulan, mishar she'matchil lalechet. That's so as soon as you set off on Shabbat, that's you've got a din of avilut, even though it's Shabbat. Kedei lachshir chalat chum. Ve'imrot zelik kovro biyom tov rishon al yedei amamin. What if you're having a levaya on first day Yom Tov?
Wasn't clear, sorry. You can leave the tchum on Shabbat.
You can't leave the tchum, but you can go to the edge of the tchum on Shabbat, and you'll leave on Motzei Shabbat.
You can't do that if you're not in Aninut.
No, you can. Well, so it's not me, but the point is, we're saying that seeing as you've now set out from home 2 hours before the end of Shabbat on a mission to do with your Avelut, so then you're an Onen, even on Shabbat. Okay? The point is, generally on Shabbat, you're not an Onen because there's nothing you can do for the Kavura. But if there is, then then you'll be an Onen. Now, generally speaking, you don't have a Levayan Yom Tov, but Minhadin you can, okay? First day Yom Tov, it needs to be non-Jews taking care of it. So you've got non-Jews taking this Sugya Masechet Beitza. So then you've got a Din of Aninut that's on Yom Tov. Of course, you came Yom Tov Sheni Shubat, Zmoyachol Kovro, Shechalulav, called Din Aninut. Yes, you're right. Okay, right. Now, we've got a few things we want to pick up here in the Pitchei Tshuva. So if you look in the Pitchei Tshuva, Sif Katan Dalet, right, we said, Einu Mavari Chamotzi. What we got here, that Katan V'Sif Chamudei Daniel, Nira Do'on and Afal Pishem Utal Echol B'lo Bracha, Chayaf Min Tila Yadayim, Bein B'mayim Rishonim, Bein B'achronim, Ma'isham. So this is the question of Netilat Yadayim, because it might well be that that Netilat Yadayim, it's not so much, it's, yes, it's a mitzvah to do Netilat Yadayim, but there's also an issa to eat without Netilat Yadayim. So therefore, that you don't say bracha, but you can't eat bread without doing Netilat Yadayim. So it's not that Netilat Yadayim is a positive mitzvah, it's just that that allows you to eat bread. And if you look in the Chidushei Rabbi Akiva Eger, that's just above it, he says, V'einu mevarich ha-motzi, v'notel yadav v'einu mevarich. So he paskins like that. Mm. Then we've got in Sif Katan Hay there, in the Pitchei Tshuva, it says about Birkat HaMazon, quotes from the Chochmat Adam, Dimachal v'nikbar ha-meit. Now, interesting question. All right, so a person, before they head off to the Levaya for their father, they have a sandwich. Right? They don't bench after eating their sandwich because they're an onen. That's, and then they bury him. And they had several sandwiches, so they're very full for 2-3 hours afterwards. They haven't digested the food yet. So he has to bench because now that he's got undigested food inside him, he still needs to bench. That's what the Yeshiva says in his Sidur, and that's what others say as well. The Katav Od, Chaim Ba'ashe Yatzar, Masat Shrachav Odo Onen, Chaim Vavarech Ashe Yatzar Achashinik Bar Hameit, Vapil Kolayom. So he went to the bathroom just before the Levaya. After the Levaya, you need to say an Asher Yatzar. And then we said that's about he said we part of from Kolam Mitzvot. So in Siv Katan Vav on the first second white line, he quotes, he says, I'm Chubat Nodabihuda, Madura Tinyana Sim Samzai, Shekatav. Dim who onim be may sphira balaila. Right, what do you do during Sfirata Omer? So in onen and Sfirata is during the Omer. If you don't count, right, so then you can't carry on with the bracha. So you should count without a bracha. So how can you do that? You know, you're not supposed to do any mitzvot. So it would seem that...
Where are you reading from there?
That was the Psif Katan Vav in the Pitchei Tshuva. That's from the Nodav Yehuda, that an Omer during Sfirat HaOmer should count the Omer without a bracha. Why? Because not to be Mekayim the mitzvah, but just to keep the continuity of the counting of the Tumimot. That, so it's not that he's doing a mitzvah here, it's just that he's calling this the 34th day of the Omer. That's not to be the kind of the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer, but just to log that this is the 34th day, so that the following day he can count that it's the 35th.
With a bracha.
Correct.
But not bracha.
No, when he's an onen, he doesn't say bracha, but subsequently then he can say bracha.
I had that.
Right, anybody, yeah, I mean, that's...
quite cool.
Yeah, quite well. Yeah, a lot of... I mean, 7 weeks of the year is Sfirat HaOmer, so, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like 2 days after Pesach.
Right.
But does everyone hold by that, that if you're Pater at the time, then the Chiyuv re-arises once you've buried the person? Because
about the Birkat HaMazon.
Yeah, and Asher Yatzar, because you would have thought if they're Pater at the time...
Oh, so hold that till we come to Sif Hay. Okay, when we talk about Havdalah. That's... okay, and then in Siv Katan Yudal it talks about whether or not you join for a minyan. Okay, right. So let's go back to our pages here. Right, okay, so that's the that's the questions to do with an on end and mitzvot. Right. Now we've got a question as to what extent do the dinim of avelut apply to an onen? You know, can an onen, we've established that an onen doesn't do any mitzvot, right? But can an onen go and have a haircut before the levaya? Many times as a rabbi, I've gone round to a house, you know, on the morning of a levaya. You know, a person's died on the Monday, maybe Monday afternoon, so the levaya's not taking place till Tuesday afternoon. Go around Tuesday morning to speak to the avelim, and they say, oh, you know, my mother's not here, she's gone to have her hair done. That's, can't sit shiver without having her hair done first. All right, so... What's the din as far as that's concerned? Look in... That's not Sifhei Sifbet. We'll come to Sifbet though. That's you know what? Let's look at Sifbet, and then we'll come on to the question of the Avelut. Yeah, Sifbet in the Shulchan Aruch. So in actual fact, before we do that, look on your pages. You've got the last page at the top. You've got a tour. Okay, you've got a tour. The back page at the top. Ra'iti la'aduni harvi aroshal. The formatting came out a bit funny, so it says tour down at the bottom of the previous page, but it's here at the top. Right, iti la'aduni avi aroshal. Shemait lo meit b'shabbat. So the Rosh lost a relative on Shabbat. Uva motzei Shabbat lo hivdil v'lo hitpalel. Motzei Shabbat, he didn't make Havdalah, didn't have a marriage, because he was an onen. V'lo b'yom aleph baboker. Ditto Sunday morning. Ula chashinik bar hameit, and then after the kavura, hit palel tefilat shachrit, daven shachrit, shadayin lo avar zmana, because it was still within zman tefila. We'll talk about more about this on Wednesday. Aval tefilat ha'erev lo, but didn't daven mariv, or even do tashlumin for it. Shekvar azar zmana, because mariv's finished. V'lo dami l'shachach v'lo yipalel arvit shem yipalel shachrit shtayim. It's not comparable to the case of a person who forgot to daven mariv. They daven shachrit twice. Kevin shebalayla lo haya chayav l'yipalel. Because at night they didn't have any chiyuv. So you only have tashlumin for something for which you have a chiyuv for. Uve'inyan havdalah ikka plugta. Now as far as havdalah, okay, a person who's an onen on Motzei Shabbat, when Shabbat goes out, there's a machloket. That's Haram Rottenberg Katav Shetzarek Lahavdil. The Maharam holds that on Sunday you have to make Havdalah after the Kavura. Because he holds that, we know from the Gemara in Pesachim that a person who didn't make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat has got several days that's in which he can make Havdalah, the mice that we say till the end of Tuesday. For Rabbeinu Yehuda katav she'ein lahavdil. Rabbeinu Yehuda says, no, you don't make Havdalah on the Sunday. And that's what the Rosh agrees with. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, we won't look at the Aruch HaShulchan inside, and the Aruch HaShulchan explains this machloket between the Maharam and Rabbeinu Yehuda as follows. They're really arguing about what the nature is of Havdalah on Sunday. Is Havdalah on Sunday, is that Tashlumin for Motzei Shabbat, or is it that the Chiyuv of Havdalah extends from Motzei Shabbat through till Tuesday afternoon? Right? So the Maharam holds, this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains it, the Maharam holds that the Chiyuv of Havdalah extends all the way till Tuesday afternoon. You should ideally make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. That's mitzvah bizmana chavifa. Right? That's the best time to make it. But if you didn't, you're making exactly the same Havdalah on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon. Whereas the Rosh and Rabbein Yehuda hold that no, the time for Havdalah is Motzei Shabbat. If you didn't make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, then you can do Tashlumin. You can compensate for it by making Havdalah later. And this goes back to the sugya in Masechet Chagiga, Chige b'yom Rishon, v'nitrape b'yom Sheni. So the din of Chiv Re'iyah in the Beit HaMikdash. A person who's lame and can't walk to the Beit HaMikdash on first day Yom Tov, right? So he's got no Chiyuv Re'iyah, because the Chiyuv of Re'iyah is you have to walk to the Beit HaMikdash. And then, now, the mitzvah of Re'iyah can be done any time over Yom Tov, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, if a person was a chiger on first day Yom Tov and then subsequently became healed, does he have a mitzvah of Re'iyah or not? Because are the subsequent days of Yom Tov, I mean, is it that they are tashlumin for the first day, in which case you should really do it on the first day? If you didn't do it on the first day, you can do it subsequent days. And if you were pator on the first day, so then you don't do it subsequent days. Or is it that the chiyuv is the whole way through, just there's an optimum time to do it, which is on the first day? So the Rosh and Rabbi Yehuda hold that with Haftalah, it's the Chiyuv is on Motzei Shabbat. And if you're not Chayuv on Motzei Shabbat, then there's no notion of Tashlumin for you. So they said that's what the argument's about. You need to keep this Machloket in mind. You need to keep this Machloket, because we will revisit it in some weeks' time when we look at the question of Katan Shenit Gadel, a child who became Bar Mitzvah during the week of Shiva. And it links in with this. So now look in the Shulchan. Sorry?
What about the Maharam in Rottenberg?
What about him?
He says you can do it the whole week.
Correct. That's because he holds that the Chiyuv of Havdalah after on Monday and Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is not Tashlumin, but that's the duration, and therefore an onen after the Kavura on Sunday makes Havdalah, according to
him.
Not, it's not Tashlumin, that's the point. Maharam Mirotenberg holds it's not Tashlumin. That's when the Chiyuv is. The Chiyuv
is till Tuesday, we said, no?
Correct, yes.
He said,
no, he means till Tuesday. That's a Machlok in Pesachim. That's just a red herring. That's okay. Seif Bet in the Shulchan Aruch. Misha make or maybe Shabbat Yochab Motse Shabbat Bolo Havdalavoli Pala Bolo Baboke Kodim Kvura Locha Kvura Ypala Tvila Shachrit in Loa Vazmana Aval Tvila Tavlo Ypala Shekvara Vazmana Vlo Dami Le Shachach Vlo Ypala Arvit Shem Ypala Shachrit Shtaim Kevan Shebalaila Loaya Chayav Lipala Ulinian Avdala Yavdil Acha Sheik Baramit. Okay, so this is important to remember that, you know, certainly if as a rabbi, if you're, you know, advising anybody, that, you know, sometimes, you know, if the Levi is going to be on the Sunday, then they're usually onanim on Motzei Shabbat. Not always, the person might die on Motzei Shabbat after Shabbat, but the person's died on Shabbat or Friday afternoon, whatever it is, the Levi is not going to take place till Sunday. You have to remind the Avelim or the Onanim they don't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbat. When they come back from the cemetery, that's on Sunday, the first thing they do is make Havdalah, only with the wine. Okay, no Ner, no Besamim. Because Ner and Besamim you only use on Motzei Shabbat.
But they're allowed to drink wine when
they're not an onen now. That's okay. So in terms of your question, James, about the Asher Yatzar and the
benching.
And the benching, certainly as far as the benching is concerned, it would seem that, you know, if you're feeling sated from food, then, you know, maybe that's the reason why you've got a chiyuv. And therefore, even though you ate at the time when you were pator, you're benefiting from that now. So maybe the same would be said about Asher Yatzar, that you're benefiting now from the empty bladder. Except Tarichiyun, a halachic aside, it's often these, you know, the... Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Pitkei Tshuva bring down this din. But lots of others don't. So, you know, does that mean that those who don't disagree, or they agree but they didn't write it down, or what? You know, that's
because I mean, this is sorry, it's linked to Asher Yatzar point. I thought you only had a limited time to say Asher Yatzar since you.
No, till you next need to go to the bathroom.
Oh, it's not. Yes. There's no like kind of short limit.
No, okay. No. That's okay. Right, so let's go back to the tour. That's it says Katav HaRambam. So we're going to see three shitot in the Rishonim about how Avelut interacts with Animut. Katav HaRambam, Shekol Zman Shelonik Bar HaMeit, Eino Aso B'chol HaDvarim Sha'avel Aso B'hem. Right, so the Rambam says that Aninut and Avelut are two totally different dinim, as the dinim of Avelut don't apply to an Onen. An Onen has got an Isser in Kodshim, a Ptur from Mitzvot, but the Kiyumim of Avelut don't apply. V'chein katav Aritz Geat, she'enu asur be'mita le'gvura b'tichbosev t'zbor t'v'chitza v'tashmish ha'mita, u'v'shag zeirat shiva. Okay, all the dinim of Shiva don't apply to an Onen. That's the view of the Rambam and the Ritz Geat. The Katav HaRamban, Shkaga Haya Mashiti Rub Tashmish Amita. It's not true that you're allowed to have Tashmish Amita when you're an Onen. Tuchule Oma B'chol Asul. Everybody agrees that during the week it's prohibited. And that's what seems from the Sugi and Brachot, because, you know, even on Shabbat there's a Machloket. That's So the Ramban is saying that certain aspects of Avelut do apply. He seems to be saying that it's the Rechitza, Sicha, Achilat Basar, Shtiat Yain, Vein Taklomah B'simcha V'tisporet. So the Ramban seems to be saying that basically anything which is pampering in any way is prohibited. That's for an onen. V'asub anachat tefillin, v'asub b'sheilat shalom, sh'afachim nasim g'shemeit be'er. That's a din in the mate that you're not allowed to have sheilat shalom. We'll have a share about that. Uvim lachan namei. As also, as far as melacha is concerned, ibrim lechet atzmo afachirim asurin. That if it's his own melacha, then other people can't even do melacha for him. Farmer shasol leishiv al gab filo al gabei mitak fruya. Can't even sit on an inverted bed. El al gabei karka sark leishiv. That's the nature of our ninut. V'lo amru ela she'eno choleitz minam v'sandal ve'eno chayav batifa tarosh fiat hamita. So the Ramban is saying that the only things that you're not chayav in, you don't have to wear non-leather shoes, and you don't have to do the classical, this is what they did in Talmudic times, two dinim which we don't observe nowadays, atifat haros and fiat hamita. Those are asin of avilut. Most of avilut is lotasin. That's things that you mustn't do. There was a din of atifat haros, that they would swaddle their heads, and the din of kriyat hamita, they would invert the beds. Fakiru ba'elu, and they said you don't have to observe these rules. That's because these would interfere with your responsibilities in terms of getting the mate buried. If you have to walk around in plimsolls, right, you're not going to be able to get where you need to get as quickly. Right, so we've got three shitot here. We've got the Rambam who says that Avelut doesn't apply whatsoever. We've got the Tosfot that says there's an Isra Tashmish Amita, because Tashmish Amita Nachilat Basav Yayin is insulting to the mate, but the other dinim of Avelut don't apply. And then you've got the view of the Ramban that's that all the dinim of Avelut apply, except for things which interfere with you looking after the needs of the mate. Those are the three shitot. Let's look now at the Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei. Kol zman shelonik bar hamate, Eino choleitz minal v'sandal, v'eino chayav b'atifat harosh u'kfiat hamita, aval asol leishev o'lishan al gabei mita afilu kfuya. Right? So he's saying you don't have to be, you don't have to do chalitzat hanal, you don't have to do atifat harosh, but you can't sit on something comfortable. V'kol shekein she'asu b'tashmish hamita. And certainly you can't be involved in tashmish hamita. Now certainly the way the Aruch HaShulchan understands that mechaber is that mechaber is paskening like the Rambam. That's with the qualification of the Ramban. That's the, about tashmish hamita. That's
the same as the Tosfot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem with the brackets. Let's read it through. Let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan, and then we'll consider it again. So the brackets, which of course weren't written by the Ramban, by the Rama, say Tor b'shem Ramban of b'shem Tosos Mordechai Perek Kama deKetuvot b'shem Yeshurun. V'Yeshurun da'aso b'chitzav sichav smin chal she'elas shalom tispot b'mnacha avamutal latzeit mipetach beito. I got my monic parrot Dalib Shem Smack, but that was the Ramban. Now look at the Aruch HaShulchan, and then we'll look at this again. So the Aruch HaShulchan Sifkatan Kafket. Nimsalafize, the Harambam Varit Geot Var Tosfot, Sovereign the Holdune Avilut, A Nogim Baonen. Brat Bitashmish Hamita, Cholkim Ar Tosfot. Right, so essentially, Tosfot and the Rambam are all in agreement. The only question is about Tashmish Hamita. That's why the Mechaber seems to be actually like the Rambam, because the Mechaber doesn't say anything about Tashmish Hamita. So it looks like the Mechaber is saying like the Rambam. The Chol Shekein She'asub Tashmish Hamita is the Tosfot, right? That Aval HaRamban, looking back now in the Aruch HaShulchan, Aval HaRamban, Rabbeinu Peretz, Sfira, who she nohek bo kol dinei avei luk, devab mashiach reach livli le'esor ha-dvarim ha-gormim, ikuv le'tzorkei ha-meit kin ilat ha-sandal, v'leich b'rchov ha-chayot sebazeh. The Ramban says anything which is going, you are essentially chayvin avei luk, unless it's going to interfere with you making the necessary arrangements. On a fi zeh, Rabbeinu ha-beit Yosef, posek ka-Ramban v'siyato. Rabbeinu Harama Bala Hosif to Afil Shitazu Asub Tashmish Hamita Kedata Tosfot Veyeshorim Dasub Rechitza Kloma Kedata Ramban Far Rabbeinu Peretz Ereshikatshu Vase Far Metzayim Barama Irbeiv Hadvarim Ayin Sham. Right, that's so the Metzayim in the Rama got a bit muddled up with things. So this is an important observation. Okay, according to the Mechaber, that's the Mechaber is paskining like the Rambam. There's no dinim of avelut at all. That's the Rama says that even the Mechaber should hold. That there can't be a din of like the Rambam. That's because you can't. It's impossible that you can be mutar with tashmish hamita. So even if you're saying like that, it has to be also with tashmish hamita. And then he's bringing in the view of the Ramban that, in actual fact, all the dinim of avelut, except for some exceptions, apply to an onen.
Applies there as well.
Yeah. That's okay. So there's a whole question about, Malacha. That's, it's just highlighted there, it's in the Gilion Marsha on the right hand of the page, towards the end. It says, Malacha, v'lim kochanu tor la'acher, ayin shiva chatam sofer, that's, da'in ha'kev v'lulim chot. Demutav shi yushog again. So this is often a question, that an onen is not allowed to do business. So he's got his business. Avel's not allowed to do business. Can the onen sell his business whilst he's an onen to somebody else, so that they can continue operating it whilst he's an avel, for the next week? We're going to see when we see the Issa Malacha, he's got to close down his business for the whole of the shiva. So that's a question whether or not he can make such a sale whilst he's an onen. Marsha quotes the Chatam Sofer that, not really, but sometimes it's best not to preach in public about this. There's also tshuva there of Rav Moshe Sternbach in Tshuvot Vahanhagot. So I think we'll leave it there if everybody's happy.